Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, what's up? Happy Thursday. Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 47, an 80-foot fall and creative jujitsu. So, quick question, are you on Snapchat? You should definitely check it out and follow me at TRetscher, and let's connect. So, yesterday I had on Ryan Guth, an incredible choral teacher and a good friend, and we learned how he transformed his life from one that was centered around himself to one that is now value-driven to others. That age-old saying, it's not about me, it's about we. It was such a powerful chat, and Ryan will be joining us again on Saturday. Today I have on the man behind the logo of The Positivity Effect, as well as a few other creative projects for me, Aaron Pearson. Aaron is a digital brand strategist, killer content creator, filmmaker, author, and award-winning designer. He focuses on building solutions that encourage the promotional growth of digital entrepreneurs and content creators, and specializes in figuring out creative ways to maximize their full potential of their digital footprint. And Aaron has certainly done that for me. He helped me gain massive clarity when I first began the process of creating The Positivity Effect. He's such an awesome guy, and he knows what the word hustle means, and he's just been such an inspiration to me. We have him on today and tomorrow, and by the way, his new book launches tomorrow, and it will be free, guys, for 24 hours, so I encourage you to tune in again tomorrow to hear how you can get his new book. Follow him on Snapchat. His username is Aaron Pearson, and you can get all the fun behind the scenes and a glimpse into the mind of a creative artist. All right, so shake out any of the tension in your body and help me welcome him now to The Positivity Effect. Aaron, what's up, man? Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
What's up? Dude, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Honored. Yes, dude. And this is a special episode for me. You know, you've done a lot of creative work for me particularly, and everybody's going to hear, you know, they're going to find out what that means. But, you know, it's awesome really having the face on behind The Positivity Effect logo.
Yeah, man. And again, dude, you've been, it's rare when this happens, but sometimes clients do exceed your expectations. So thanks for being so rad.
Absolutely. And you know, we have a lot to talk about. We're going to cram it in, but you know, I was doing a little research and just checking out your website, and I was enjoying reading your about me, and you got some cool stuff on there. But yeah. In particular, man, let's talk before we even talk about, like, you know, your branding and everything and the projects that you're working on. An 80-foot fall off a cliff. What happened?
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of time climbing about 6 years ago. I was really into climbing and real technical routes, indoor and outdoor. I live in Arizona, so there's some good climbing out here and some good indoor gyms. And yeah, one day I was free climbing with a really good buddy of mine over at Camelback Mountain. And I got to the summit. I was free climbing, no ropes. I had my chalk bag and my shoes on, and we're just free climbing little 20-foot boulders and some 30-foot stuff. Nothing crazy, okay? Something that to me was like, not a big deal. Now, but climbing mountains, I mean, they're not just singular. There's not just one wall. There's multiple walls, right? So I kind of climbed up the side of this mountain. It was only about a 20-foot climb. The other side of the mountain was an 80-foot drop. So I get to the summit and I look down at my friend and I see some bees, and I'm like, dude, don't come up here. There are bees. And immediately when I said that, I was attacked by these Africanized bees. They're like the size of, you know, a silver dollar. Okay.
Holy cow.
And they don't die when they sting you. And I was stung hundreds of times. And you know, when you're at the summit, like I was literally at a summit. It was a point. Okay, where you're like kind of balancing, and they were down on the other side. and they swooped up and just stung the crap out of me. And I panicked, you know, I tried to go back down the way I came, but I ended up falling the other way just in a panic. Like I don't remember that exact moment. I remember getting stung and I was conscious when I hit the ground. But yeah, I broke my back in four places. I shattered my right ankle. I punctured both of my lungs. I had stitches.
Wow.
My hands were like raw meat. I had a big scratch on my head. But I mean, to be honest with you, I was so lucky because I can run now. I'm walking, obviously. I go to the gym. But dude, one rock to the head, it could have been over. So yeah, it was about eight stories they estimated that I fell. And it was kind of like I would fall 20, hit a rock, fall another 20, hit another rock. Yeah, it was really bad. But I will tell you, this whole Camelback Mountain bee thing happens annually. There are like just insane bee attacks in Arizona. These Africanized bees are extremely aggressive. They say, you know, not to jump in water. It's definitely something you don't want to mess with. And I'm very like hyper alert to, you know, where am I walking out in Arizona? Are there bees? I mean, I was in the hospital for a month, and every time I would fall asleep, you know, they say falling asleep, right? Because you get that feeling of falling. Every time I would fall asleep, I would wake up in a panic, just scared because I felt sensation of falling. And every time a fly would land on me, I would freak out. Now I'm past that stage now, but it was like that for about a year. It was a really traumatic experience. I've been climbing since then, but not at the level that I was. Like, I used to go three times a week. Now I go three times a year. And it's all indoors.
Aaron, that's crazy. Man, I was just going to ask you that story, you know, just because I was so curious. I wanted to hear what happened. Like now, it's like I wasn't even going to change the subject right away now because it's like I'm thinking about that. That had to have been, or still is, that was a very, you know, coming out of that and reflecting on it, that was a very transformational experience for you. Like you said, the fact that you lived, you know, that's like, you know, it's most, you would say like if you were to look back, many people, if they fell off that same cliff, is good chance they probably wouldn't have lived.
Man, there are people that fall off their roof that are paralyzed, you know, painting, and we're talking 8 feet.
Oh my God.
And so I mean, I look at that experience and absolutely, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that whatever my purpose is here on this planet hasn't been fulfilled yet, and I had another chance. Before that time, I had never broken a bone in my body. I'm very coordinated, I play a lot of sports, very active. Skateboard, snowboard, wakeboard, any kind of board, I'm on it. So yeah, falling and breaking like all these bones all at once. Yeah, that I never thought I was going to break a bone. Like I almost thought I was invincible for a while.
I know. Don't we all, man? Well, you said that really powerful word. You said purpose. And you know, that's what we're here talking about today. And that's why I brought you on, because you really inspired me, because you've been following your purpose from a very young age. You've always been someone who has had a lot of creativity. You know, you've always, I like that word you actually said, is, you know, your jujitsu of creativity, man. And so is when you think of just everything that you do and you think back on your life of the projects you've worked on, or just like how you've had this energy and this drive and passion to create things and you know, whether it's drawing or podcasting or writing or painting, anything, you know, is that something you could think back to the earliest moments of your life, or was there just, you know, something, a point in your, you know, childhood that really sparked it, or somebody that was in your life that really helped you kind of pave the way for that?
Interesting question. Deep question, because I have always pursued my passions. My first job was working on the beach in Michigan for a company called Mackinac Kite Company, and I got paid to sit on the beach and fly kites, and I would teach people how to fly kites on the beach, and I would sell them kites on the beach. So it was like instructional, but I mean, here you go. I'm a, you know, I'm like 12, 13 year old kid. Where's the best place on the planet for me to be? You know, the beach. Let's be on the beach in Grand Haven, which is a pretty cool town in Michigan, on Lake Michigan, and their beaches are beautiful and they're very nice. And I felt like I could kind of do whatever I chose to do. and this is, it's strange though, because I don't think that that was something that was really instilled in me from my family. The majority of them are, I would say, fairly average when it comes to their lifestyle choices and the way that they live, or maybe the lens in which they look through the world at. I just saw a tremendous amount of opportunity. Now that I kind of think about it, though, just to give you a more clear answer, my mom and dad were never married. So I grew up a single mother, moved from school to school, 13 different schools. I was literally the, you know, the key around my neck kid, right? So I take myself to school, bring myself back to school. She's trying to provide for me. We're living in these little tiny apartments. You know, when I would get grounded, she would actually ground me outside of the house. She'd say, "You cannot come home for this amount of time." So there was something, I guess, more survival in me, and not only survival, like, but really, like, I felt like the world was my playground. The world is not a place that I was afraid of. It was a place for me to go explore. And the more I explored and the more people that I met as I moved to 13 different public schools before I got my GED, you know, I'm a high school dropout, but I did get my GED. Now I have a college degree. Going around and being forced to meet new people and being forced to adapt to new environments makes it very easy for me to adapt to business, adapt to, you know, meeting clients and colleagues and forming strategic partnerships today in my existing business. I was, now that and I've never said this before, you asked a really powerful question, so I'm really trying to think this through and give you a solid answer. But I think that that mentality of what I had to go through when I was younger, which wasn't that bad, but it was an experience that I took that I still adopt today, right? I maybe just taken it a little more radical. So I've always been doing stuff that I love to do. I've had a couple jobs that I don't necessarily like as a means to get somewhere else, maybe as a stepping stone, but I've always been extremely attentive and aware of, you know, where is my passion? What is my purpose today? And how can I go out there and create, you know, whatever that is I'm looking for?
When you think of just your creativity too, do you, you know, thinking back on it now, do you think that that was, you know, your forms of expression was a way for also just, you know, processing good feelings, bad feelings, just whatever you were going through by getting it down on, you know, whether it be paper, if you're writing lyrics or if you're writing poetry or if you're drawing something, that was your way to get anything out into your head and then look at it. You know, when you think of somebody like a, like an engineer, when they're looking at a building design, they have to, like, physically in their mind put it out in front of them and shape it and mold it before it ever comes to be. And that's, you know, that's what you do. You know, you take an idea and you put it out in front of you and you shape and you mold it. And I think now it's kind of interesting that parallel you just made about connecting with people and networking and building, you know, talking about building brands, which we're going to talk about more tomorrow. The fact that you have that creative muscle in you, it allows you to just connect with some people in so many more ways because you can look out and you could just really put it out in front of you and visually see how you're going to attack the problem.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at a young age, I was always very attracted to drawing. I was attracted to the arts. It was always just something that I was interested in. I was also very interested in computers, in technology. We didn't have money to have technology, but one of my grandmothers, who I had never met before on the other side of the world, had bought me a computer. It was an old Packard Bell. Do you remember Packard Bell?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm actually, you know, we don't really drop too many curses on the show, but we used to call it the Packard.
Yeah. So this was like an old machine where, you know, we used to play
always Doom problems through
MS-DOS and
Doom 3D.
Yeah, Doom 3D through MS-DOS and you know, Worms and whatever else. But but anyways, so it was like this computer and I was just obsessed with it. I was obsessed with the technology. And like you said, not only creating something by hands, you know, in more of a tactile approach, but I like taking these ideas that are in my mind and, you know, putting them out on whatever medium that is. So to me, creative expression has no boundaries when it comes to mediums, right? Like we could talk about a photograph. We could talk about a video, a podcast, an article. We could talk about a drawing, even a website. A lot of times I just find myself compelled to create. I created my own set for one of the video shows that I was doing for a digital course. And I love the process of creating a set. I've never created a set before. I think the biggest rush for me and the biggest high that I get in life is experiencing new things. It's not about repeatedly creating the same type of thing over and over again. That tends to be very boring for me. So I go out of my way to find new experiences to create. And I will invest a tremendous amount of time and energy and money into those experiences.
Yeah. You know, like if we think of those human needs that we all have, whether it's having certainty about, you know, there's certain things that we all want to feel certain about, some more than others in certain things, or we want to feel significant, you know, whether it's significance in a relationship or in the work that we do or in having a, you know, people find significance in just getting, having a child. And, you know, it's interesting what you're saying. For you, it's, you know, and we all have this need for uncertainty as well. But it seems like for you, that driving force is that uncertainty, is that unknown, that when you're in that space of the unknown and the creativity, that's where you really thrive. Where some people, they need to just sit in more of that complacency or that certainty that they know exactly, oh, they know what their schedule is every single day. They know, you know, when they watch Top Gun for the 54th time, you know, that goose is going to die. Like they know every scene to every movie because they enjoy the certainty to that. So it's interesting to hear that from a creative mind.
Yeah. And again, I really think to each his own, right? Everybody kind of has their own personality because, you know, I've worked with a lot of people. Part of my story is revolved around alcoholism. And I was a sober member of AA for 8 years and whatever. We can talk about that if you want. I was just saying. But one of the things that I talked to people about when I sponsored them was, what are you really passionate about? Because a lot of people don't know anything else besides the patterns that they live in on a daily basis. They're afraid to kind of explore that unknown. And I try to make it a point, not just from a creative aspect, but from a hobby aspect. Let's call it a hobby. I think that hobbies are extremely important for every single person on this planet because it's an outlet for you to learn something new. It's like you're either learning, you're either growing or you're dying is kind of the saying, but, and I take that really seriously where it's like, I want to go out and learn new things. I picked up archery a year ago. I shoot
That's
guns.
That's awesome.
Guns are fun. They're accurate, you know, but they're a very violent weapon to shoot. Right. And there's a lot of gun ranges out here in Arizona. Everyone's a cowboy out here, but you know, one of my friends had a bow and I was like, dude, that looks so sweet. How do you, you know, and I didn't know anything about it.
I feel like that's such a spiritual thing. Like putting a bow, like you become one with it, right?
Absolutely. It was the coolest experience that, it's one of my favorite hobbies now, but if you go into my garage is literally stacked with hobbies. I have so many hobbies. People come in there and they're like, dude, what is going on? Like this is a friggin' sports store, but it's like, you know what? And I'm not necessarily a master of any of them. Some of them I take on and I really enjoy, others I don't, but I explore. And I think that's where I get my rush from, is learning something new, exploring and having new experiences. Cause to me, like, life is just a series of experiences. They're not good or bad. They just are what they are. Like, I don't try to label them. I just try to experience them. And I want to experience as many things as possible. We talked about right before the interview, you know, food to me is one of my favorite luxuries. I travel a lot for work. I travel all around the world speaking and, you know, we do some branding workshops and a lot of other things. My favorite thing to do when I travel is to go to a native restaurant native to that area and try whatever's most popular. I want to experience that. I want to taste it. I want to sit in the environment and soak that in. I'm obsessed with that stuff, dude. Like,
well, that comes through, man. That comes through in your work. Like, I can see it, like, just from my experience of working with you, and even like just having that over the shoulder view, like when you would log me in and I had an opportunity to watch you work on the screen. It's, you know, all of the, it sounds like all these experiences that uncertainty, all these things that you pull from and the energy you pull from is that's boom, that is your canvas. Because if you have a, you know, if you're not someone that if I think being creative, it makes sense. Like, you have to have those experiences, right? Like, because if you have that blank canvas in your mind, like, you're putting stuff down. It's all coming from your mind. You're putting all these connections together, and whether it be palettes and colors or sensations from eating food, and that's, man, that's really interesting to really hear behind the creative work, like, what, you know, what drives you to actually end up putting something together and having, you know, the project really that final product, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that our conversation has gone this way, because I've never talked about this aspect of me in relationship to why I do what I do. Like, to me, this has almost been a separate subject matter that, I don't talk about a lot. So this is really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, this is awesome, man. And, you know, and now, like, thinking of that, I have a big question, because I'm a musician. I like to write songs as well, but sometimes I have those creative blocks, and, you know, wouldn't you agree to, like, with music, there's literally no limit to a song. Like, we'll never run out of songs as long as there's people that have creativity inside of them.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think music and video, especially both of those married together, are the best ways to communicate anything or create a strong emotional connection. But music by far is incredible. I went to see one of my favorite artists. We'll call them artists. They're called Goldfish. It's kind of like this new age. You know who Goldfish is? Goldfish Live. So saw them, and then we were introduced to Grizz, and Goldfish is from Cape Town, and I love their music. I mean, it's very positive. You should totally link them in the description, because if you listen to the actual lyrics of what they're saying, one of their songs is called Choose Your Own Adventure, and it talks about waking up at work every morning and going through and, you know, coming back at the night. And anyways, it talks about choose your own adventure, and I love it. So anyways, I've wanted to go and see them, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have to fly to Cape Town, because they're never going to come here. Then my project manager flew in here last week and was like, hey, I got tickets to this show. You want to go? And I was like, I don't know. What is it? He's like, this person, and Goldfish. I was like, Goldfish? I'm like, you mean the Goldfish that we're listening to right now in the Jeep? I listen to him all the time. He's like, yeah. I'm like, done and done. Oh, but back to your point on music, so powerful, right? Like, and it's one thing to kind of hear it in the background. There's always something going on, but when you're like there and you can feel it, you know, like the more, sensations that you hit with any sort of medium, like music, you know, hearing it's one thing, but when you feel the bass hit your chest with video, you can feel the bass hit your chest, hear it and see it. Right. So the more of those, senses that you tap into, I think the stronger of a connection, the more you can connect to that content or to that, whatever that is.
And that's, that's what the arts are for me. Like, for music, and I'm sure you can attest to this, like when you're creating something, for me, like playing guitar, singing, you know, conveying a message, you know, kind of like wrapped up in the lyrics, where like it actually, you know, if somebody was to listen to the words that I write, that they have to sit down and they have to take time to actually digest what I'm saying. There's a spiritual, you know, side to that. It's very spiritual for me. Like, to, and they say it's an old saying, you know, when you sing, you're praying twice, you know, and I'm sure too for you, like putting down something visually, or whether it's you're writing something, it's very spiritual.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It is. And again, this isn't something I usually talk about, but yeah. And I have very, I would consider myself, a spiritual being. Absolutely. Like I exercise that, that knowing, I exercise that relationship on a daily basis. It's not just like, you know, I go to church once a week or something like that. Like I have, a very intimate relationship with my understanding of that.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, I think to be creative too, like you have to have, whether it's whatever you call it, right? Whether someone says it's connection to the universe, connection to themselves, connection to Christ, connection to Buddha, like whatever that looks for you, like when you have that connection to it, if we're thinking about creativity, you're able to express yourself in so much more. You know, like I can probably ask you, I want to talk about this tomorrow. Like you mentioned that you know, that you were in AA, like that might have been a time, or maybe you had some creative blocks. Maybe not. Maybe it was a time where you were actually even more expressive. But like, I know for me, if I'm struggling with something, like, or if there's a time where there's all these like stops, and maybe my really, you know, relationships aren't tied tight, and or I'm not, you know, focusing on my health or my fitness or focusing on my spiritual side, it's hard for me to be creative as I would like, basically. At least for me, that's the experience I've had.
Yeah, and I mean, to answer your question about the whole AA thing, I was definitely not as creative. I was not expressing. I think part of the biggest internal struggle that I had was that I was not doing activities that my soul needed to do. My obsessions were in the wrong place. See, now today, like I am obsessed, absolutely obsessed with my goals, with providing opportunity to my family, I'm very clear on the goals that I'm trying to achieve. And I'm obsessed with those goals so much that I spring out of bed at 5 a.m. excited, right? I don't spring out of bed like, oh, I'm not perfect, right? I slept in a little bit this morning. But I'm just saying that most of the time I get out of bed and I'm excited for the day. You know, some people are like, oh, my favorite day of the year is this. My favorite day of the year is today, is right now.
You know, it's like Eric Thomas, he says, thank God it's Monday. Like, no, like not TGIF, you know, it's like TGIM, man. Like every single day is an opportunity to do something amazing, whether it's in our own creativity or if it's making a difference in somebody's life. You know, for you talking about providing for your family, like, right, like, it's when you have that certainty, when you have that you know exactly what your purpose is, and you know, if you're listening right now and you're like, what the heck is my purpose? I don't know, you know, what I want to achieve. I don't have any big goals right now. Take the time to spend some time by yourself sitting down and writing these things out. It's going to hurt at first. It may take some time to figure out, but if you don't take some time to really, like we were talking about, sticking it out like an engineer, kind of touching it in front of your mind and visualizing what you're trying to achieve, it's going to be very hard to move forward.
Yeah, I love it, man. I agree completely. This has been an awesome conversation.
Absolutely.
Tom, really. Absolutely. I mean, you're kind of inspiring me now to write about this a little bit, because I do think that I see a lot of parallels to what we've just been talking about, not only just with creativity in general, but in my business and the way in which I choose to live my life.
Awesome. All right. So then, well, we're going to kick it off tomorrow. Let's talk a little bit more about that. And also a little cliffhanger, guys. We have, you know,
cliffhanger.
Little cliffhanger.
Is that a joke?
Yeah.
Cliff faller.
Aaron's going to be dropping something pretty awesome tomorrow. Pretty much everywhere, not just on my show. It's going live tomorrow, and I know he's super pumped about it. I'm super pumped to share it with you guys. So make sure you tune in again tomorrow. Aaron, man, thanks so much for jumping on.
Dude, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Take care.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. Something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.